Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth. to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Put God in his rightful place. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, from the CSB Bible. And it says, "Do not have other gods before me, besides me." Excuse me. And the title is Put God in His Rightful Place. As you think about the nature of your relationship with God, remember this. You will always have some type of relationship with Him. It is inevitable that your life must be lived in relationship to God. The question is not if you will have a relationship with him. The burning question is whether that relationship will be on one that seeks to honor him or not. Are you willing to place God first in your life? And are you willing to welcome him into your heart? Unless you can honestly answer these questions with a resounding yes, then your relationship with God isn't what it could be or should be. Thankfully, God is always available. He's always ready to forgive. And he's waiting to hear from you now. The rest, of course, is up to you. If God has the power to create and sustain the universe, he is more than able to sustain your marriage and your ministry, your faith and your finances, your hope, and your health. Love has its source in God, for love is the very essence of his being. It is when we come to the Lord in our nothingness, our powerlessness, and our helplessness that he then enables us to love in a way which without him would be absolutely impossible. When we have learned to love God better than our earthly dearest, we shall love our earthly dearest better than we do now. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Here's a thought. You must guard your heart by putting God in his rightful place. And that rightful place is first place. In Philippians 1:9, in the CSB Bible says, "And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can determine what really matters and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ." In Luke 9, 23 through 24 in the New King James Version said, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 in the CSB Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When we obey your commandments, we are blessed. Today, we invite you to reign over every corner of our hearts. We will have faith in you. Father, we will sense your presence. We will accept your love. We will trust your will. And we will praise you for the Savior of our life, your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am.
Said I'm on my way and I won't said I'm on my way out. Ooh, said I'm on my way out. I gotta keep on pressing, y'all. Well, I'm moving upward and I, yes, I'm moving upward and I won't. I tell you, I'm heavenly, singing never give up.
yeah. Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price? Anybody got a price, yo?
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Genesis 17, 1 through 2 in the NIV. Let us pray. El Shaddai, which means Almighty God, you are great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways reach higher than our own. You surround us with the blessings of your provisions as you covenant with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. The balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of the earth are nothing compared to you who sit enthroned in might and valor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. You are welcome to join us at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Hallelujah.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. fearful and friendly word. You need a cut or so. We were conquering. I fearful and friendly word. You need a cut or so.
Brings happiness to the righteous, terror engulfs the evildoers. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yet, for the righteous, you wait to be gracious, and you exalt yourselves to show mercy. You are a God of justice who judges the earth, and blessed are all those who wait for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you are greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you are greater. Greater than all, greater.
for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Manifesting His Qualities. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, and it says, just as we have bore the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. There are countless books and videos that will tell you how to be a positive, upbeat person. Most of these resources will give you techniques for becoming happy, repeating certain phrases to yourself, meditating on cheerful memories, or imagining yourself in pleasant environments. The emphasis is nearly always, however, on the outward things you can do. Although some of these techniques can be helpful for temporarily relieving stress, the genuine and permanent joy, peace, and contentment that you desire are not feelings you can generate on your own. They are solely the work of the Holy Spirit in you. These qualities are developed and manifested in your life only as you receive by faith the love and freedom of God. God's purpose in your life from the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior until you enter his presence to live with him in heaven forever is to produce the qualities of Christ within you, Romans 8 and 29. The key to taking hold of his attributes is to submit yourself to him fully, regardless of whether his commands make sense to you. It is then he can do his supernatural work and change you permanently from within. Romans 12 and 2. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. Do your awesome work and transform us, our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening, Manifesting His Qualities. At this time, again, I will play another selection.
Stop.
Just as Abraham did throughout his life. We want to be be people of great faith and know and to experience you as El Shaddai in our life. At times, Abraham did not exhibit the faith that he displayed in his later years, and in so doing, he delayed your covenant with him. Help us to not cause delays in our destiny, but rather to walk upright in faith, starting even from today. Strengthen the muscles of our heart and our soul so we are willing to risk everything for you, and help us to demonstrate our dedication and commitment to you, our King, and to your kingdom agenda on earth. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. At this time, I will play another selection, For God Has a Plan.
God had a plan. Uh-huh. All the world began.
God, who judges the earth, thank you for using just scales and for rewarding those who diligently seek you. As we witness the chaos and turmoil in our world today, terrorist attacks, random acts of violence, or any number of things, we know you sit as the God who judges the earth. There will be a time of accounting for those who bring evil on the lives of the innocent. And we are grateful that you are ultimately in control. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, We have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Praise be to God. In Psalms 43 and 4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. God, my exceeding joy. Yours is the greatness, power, glory, victory, and majesty. All that is in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Because of this and more, you are my exceeding joy. You are my delight, and I come before you in prayer to exalt your name forever. I praise your glorious name, for in your hand are both power and might, and it is by your word that you make great or bring down. There is none higher than you and none more worthy of all my praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. And amen. And that concludes. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. While we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play a short selection.
Come all ye broken, come all ye broken, come all ye broken. Burdens you carry, I want to save you from the weight of the world. My child, why do you tarry? Bring me the things that bind up your soul. For my yoke is easy, the burdens I give are light. Come on, ye broken, come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest in me. Leave the cares of this world far behind, keep your feet on journey is winding. Fear not, the way My word is a lamp to your step. My word is a lamp. My name is alive. Come on, ye broken. Come on, ye faint of heart. Come on.
Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, and I'd like to welcome in Deaconess Valerie. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Good evening, good evening. God
praise
bless
God.
You.
Praise
the
bless
Lord. Praise
you. We're waiting on Sister
okay.
Barbara.
Play another selection.
Yes, I'll play another selection while we're waiting.
Okay.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good, y'all. Raise it with it in emotion.
You provide the spirit.
be to God. Fill me up, God. I need more of you. And now it is time for our lesson this evening, and our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Praise God. Praise God.
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I won't complain.
Amen.
I just thank God for another day.
That's all we can do. Thank you for another day and praise his holy name.
Hey,
is anyone else on?
Yes.
He is here with us.
God is a good God. Yes, he is. Oh, my God, he's a good God. Yes, he is. I won't complain.
Amen.
I won't complain.
I'm glad you're on, and I just want to take a moment and missionary Valerie say thank you for sending out the beautiful message to us about being on Soul Sisters prayer line. Such a beautiful, thoughtful thing to do.
You're welcome. Denison Evangelist, I don't want to disturb her. She has so much on her plate and she's busy on at that time Thursday night. So she doesn't know what we're talking about. But thank
yes,
you.
Right.
I was saying that she knows she doesn't come on that. Anyway, we're going to get to start it unless someone else has something else. Before I pray? All right.
Yes.
So, precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assembled at this 7 o'clock hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for all of the activities that we had to do today. Thank you for allowing us to accomplish that and even more. So Father God, we give you praise, glory, and honor because you're just that kind of God. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for being in the lives of the ladies on the line. Thank you for blessing them, for showing them the way, for guiding them, for being caring about them, for showing to all of us your love and your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your compassion, your favor, all of your benefits, Father God. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Bless our apostle, the founder of this line, and Lady Wiggins, his wife. Bless all those who are listening in whatever device they're on. And just continue to be the God of our lives and to continue to show us the way. Father God, I will be forever grateful. I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I just love you. So thank you so very much. All these blessings we ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. So we're going to pick up where we left off on page 310.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of this section is The Resurrection and Ascension of Jesus Christ. This is chapter 46. So, what were we talking about? We were talking about the cause and effect of things, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're at, we're over on 2.
You're on section C, on page 310.
Yes.
So,
three.
What was
three?
The... Okay. what was the cause of having worship from the Sabbath, which was Saturday, is now Sunday for us, but having it changed from Saturday to Sunday? What was the cause?
The cause was the Jews worship on Saturday.
No. What was the cause of the day being changed from Saturday to Sunday?
They wanted to recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And
it took place on a Sunday.
And what was the effect?
The change of the day?
Yes.
From Saturday to Sunday?
Right. So the cause was the resurrection of Jesus. Okay, because he rose on the what?
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
He rose
on Sunday.
The third day after he was crucified. So the third day he was crucified was Sunday when he rose again. Mm-hmm. And so the cause was his resurrection, and the reason or the effect of that resurrection became Sunday worship. All right?
Okay.
Okay, the result of Christ's resurrection, section C. A new prototype body. With the resurrection of Christ, there appeared for the first time in history a new kind of resurrection body. For he rose with an eternal body, never to die again. Before that event, all resurrections were restorations to the former earthly body. Any thoughts about that?
No.
Christ's resurrection body.
I just want to ask a question.
Okay.
Okay, it seems like there's a comparison. So the before then, the resurrection of earthly bodies was like what? Because when Jesus was resurrected, he resurrected into eternal life, eternal body. So what was the former earthly bodies like?
The former earthly resurrections were restorations to the former types of bodies. In other words, when Lazarus died and rose again or was restored, he came back into his natural body, the same thing that he had before he died. Nothing glorified, nothing, you know, supernatural. He came back in his natural body. Whereas we know that when Christ came back, he came back in a glorified body. One that, as I think we will see, if we haven't read it already, a body that could allow him to go through doors.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So,
yes.
But yet, at
I
the
understand
same time,
now, Sister Barbara, and
the
that
time,
the word.
Food, okay? Allowed him to, even in that glorified state where some looked at him and thought him to be a ghost, he could still sit down and eat food.
Right.
What were you saying, Valerie?
Yeah, I understand now because the word tells us that we're going to put on a new body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was all about the body. The body was changed. He put on a new kind of resurrected body.
Mm-hmm. And looking at this, I think we read this already, really. But we'll continue. So, the second paragraph, Christ's resurrection body had links with his unresurrected earthly body. People recognized him, John 20:20. The wounds inflicted by crucifixion were retained. What does that mean?
He had them on him. They were still there.
Right.
They didn't disappear.
Exactly. They were still there and obvious. He had the capacity, though not the need, to eat, and he breathed on the disciples And that body had flesh and bones, proving that he was not merely a spirit showing itself, not merely a ghost showing itself. But his resurrection body was different. He could enter closed rooms without opening doors. He could appear and disappear at will. And apparently, he was never limited by physical needs such as sleep or food. And we know that prior to that, he got weary, he got hungry, he got thirsty, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
But now, he was in
for safety many times.
What's that?
He ran for safety, not out of fear, but he knew he wasn't safe, and he moved, and he kept it moving. To the point that the word describes him as being homeless almost.
All right, to continue. The most detailed description of Christ risen and ascended is found in Revelation 1, 12 through 16. Here, John recorded his vision of the glorified Christ. He was like a son of man, which links him to his former earthly appearance, but he also radiated glory from his eyes, feet, voice, and face. This is the way we shall see him someday. His resurrection also serves as a prototype of the resurrection of believers. What does that mean again? Prototype.
A model of...
Right, an example of. So twice Christ is referred to as the firstborn from the dead. This means that he was the first to have an eternally resurrected body. The first one to have an eternally resurrected body. What does that mean?
That he...
What was the question again?
The question was, Jesus was the first one to have an eternally resurrected body.
Yeah, he was the first to die and be resurrected.
No. He had Lazarus. Remember I just spoke about Lazarus?
He's the first to put on that new body.
Yeah, he was the first to have that eternally.
Right, because Lazarus came back in his regular body.
Right. Other ones came back in their former body, and it was not eternal. Sooner or later, Lazarus died again.
Yeah, they killed him again.
Well, I don't know if they killed him. We don't have any discussion about how Lazarus died finally, unless you know something.
No more than what I saw.
Well, we're not talking about the movies. I'm talking about what the Bible says.
Well, no, I didn't read it.
The Bible says he's still dead.
Did
the Bible say he was killed again?
No.
Okay, so I go by the biblical story. I don't know about the movies. Okay? So our resurrection bodies, like his, will be different from our earthly bodies. So again, because we become believers, we too will have this eternally resurrected body. When answering the question, what will believers' resurrection bodies be like? Paul said they will not be the same bodies that were laid in the grave, simply reconstituted. What does that mean?
They will be made over, renewed.
Okay. Not just put together like they were before they died.
Right.
They'll be renewed.
And the Bible speaks about how the bodies will be moving in a baby's skin.
Oh, okay. I never heard that before, but okay. But they will be new yet related to the former one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Believers in the eternal state will be like him. 1 John 3:2. What does that mean? John explained in the following verses, to be like him means to be pure, verse 3, to be without sin, verse 5, and to be righteous, verse 7. Our entire beings, including our bodies, will be characterized in these ways, these ways. So let's go back and look at the scriptures.
We read them on last week. You're going to read them over?
Okay.
Yeah, we read the scripture. We're at number 2. But you went back to
okay.
the... Yeah.
I heard you saying 2 all that time. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I said
it was good to go over it.
I know. It's good to go over because, you know, sometimes we don't remember what we heard.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I think last week I fell asleep, so I don't know where y'all was.
Yes, we remember, yes, you went to sleep.
Slide 2, approve mm-hmm. of his claim. So now we're going to prove what he claimed to be. We have already mentioned that his resurrection proves his truthfulness as a prophet, Matthew 28:6. It's also validated his claim to be Lord and Messiah, a point mm-hmm. Peter drove home in his Pentecost sermon, Acts 2:36. Paul states that the resurrection proves him to be the Son of God. Number 3. Well, let's go back and get the scriptures right here. Okay. First, we're going to look at him being truthful as a prophet, Matthew 28:6, evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
If you would be so happy. Matthew 28:6
says, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. Amen.
Okay, so what do you get out of that, being truthful and being a prophet?
Well, truthful is he rose. When it said, when they went and they saw that his body wasn't there, so he had risen, so that was their proof and truth right there.
Mm-hmm.
The body wasn't there, and so they, when he told them that in 3 days he will rise again, so in 3 days he rose.
Amen. That was.
And what part was that?
What, when he rose?
Yes, ma'am. What part was that, Valerie?
That's the truth. That's the word.
No, that wasn't
That was prophecy. It came to pass. He rose.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, they didn't understand and didn't want to accept or believe what, you know, they were hearing. And so to have all of this come to pass, you know, it shows how Jesus was telling them the truth.
Mhm. It shows that he was real.
Mhm.
And I just wanted to read mine. It starts at 5:5-6. It says the angel spoke to the woman. There's nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He's not here. He was raised, just as he said. That's the truth. Come and look at the place where he was placed. All right? So mm-hmm. he said he would not be there. He said he would rise again in 3 days. So he told the truth, and that was a prophetic statement.
Right. Okay.
Next chapter.
Acts.
That was Acts 2:36. Valerie.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Mm-hmm. So he claimed to be Lord and Messiah, and this is what is being validated by
mm-hmm.
Peter.
Yeah.
And then finally, the resurrected Son proved to be the Son of God. Romans 1 and 4, Evangelist.
Okay.
And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
He is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
All right. So now we're going to go to part three, a prerequisite to all the subsequent. What does that mean? A prerequisite to all of his ministry.
Prerequisite. That's what they say in college. You got to take this class before you take these other classes. You have to know this beforehand before you can go on to learning any the you know what comes after. So that's
right.
That's
so you're right. So how does this apply to Jesus?
You said three? I see only two. It only goes up to two.
2:11?
Ascension? Are we talking about what?
Look at the page.
Oh, I see.
Three.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. So how does this apply to Jesus, Evangelist? Any thoughts before I read the paragraph?
No.
Okay, so if Christ did not rise, then his life and ministry ended on the cross. And he says nothing from that time on. Do you think that's true?
I'm sorry, what's the...
I think it's true. If he doesn't, if it was over, it's over. If he didn't take on that new resurrected body of eternity, then it would have been ended. But he did, so it goes on and on and on.
So I said, if Christ did not rise. Then his life and ministry ended on the cross. So if he had not resurrected, his life would have ended on the cross, and he does nothing from that time on. But he did. So through the resurrection and ascension, our Lord enters into his present and future ministry, which will be discussed in the next chapter. So because he did come down off of that cross, that's why we have a future, because he had a future, all right, because he rose again after being dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
The resurrection of Christ has always been the joyous, captivating, and motivating truth for the church. One of the simplest prayers and earliest creeds of the church was Maranatha, our Lord come, 1 Corinthians 16 and 22. No one can say that who denied the resurrection of his Lord. No one can say that who said he didn't rise again, all right? So if you think he didn't rise again, you can say, Lord, come, because you have no hope in him coming. Right?
Mm-hmm. What did you say that word? Maranara?
No, Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Uh-huh.
And it means
our Lord.
What?
Our Lord.
Oh, our Lord.
Come.
Our Lord. Because I tried to find it in the dictionary, and it wasn't there.
Really? Okay, we're going to Google it in a month, right?
Okay.
So no one can say that who denied the resurrection of his Lord. So who in that time, and I hate to, but who in that time of, say, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have been in the group that denied that he even rose again?
The Jews. Some of them.
They were all Jews. They were all Jews. So I said of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which of those two Jewish groups would have been the ones who believed that he did not rise again?
The Pharisees.
No.
No? Then it must be the Sadducees.
Yes, 50-50.
Can I share something with you, ladies?
Yes, ma'am.
Back
I'm going to. I'm going to Google something. Just hold on 1 second, okay? Hold that thought. Don't say anything. Maranatha. Hold on. I'm going to say it correctly. Okay. Lord, come. What is that? Okay. Here we go. Maranatha. Okay. It's giving me a lot of songs. Talking about its kind of music, Maranatha.
Oh.
Go on, Valerie. I'm trying to find it. Sorry.
Yeah, on page 310, it talks about how believers in the eternal state will be like him. What does this mean? John explains in the following verses. To be like him means to be pure, to be without sin, and to be righteous. Our entire beings, including our bodies, will be characterized in these ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep getting this revelation that we have to be like Christ. But we're not the Christ. We got to know that we're not the Christ. God doesn't like proud. He doesn't like vanity. He doesn't like scornfulness. We got to be like Christ, but we're not the Christ. And sometimes people slip over, and they think they're the Christ. And it's just a thin line between fanatic and insanity, you know, it's a thin line, you know, because we recognize we're all different. Jesus was the only one, and we are the only make of our own kind. So we got to be like Jesus. We got to be like Christ, but we are not the Christ.
Right.
It says on page 310, the bottom line, believers in the eternal state will be like Christ. But he gives us this word and teaching and instruction, and it says that means to be pure, to be without sin, to be righteous. Our entire being, including our body, will be characterize these ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, you know, it just stays on my mind sometimes, you know, when I see people with big old crosses on their heads, big old signs like we don't got Bibles, and, you know, and we just got to be like Christ, but we're not the Christ. Some people even call themselves the Christ. And, you know,
I'm trying to get something.
Okay, it's a revelation that came to my mind that when I heard that in the lesson on page 310, it's the bottom line. It says, believers in eternal state will be like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ spoke in parables, though. And we have to discern and diligently divide the word, and it doesn't mean that we're Christ.
No, I don't think believers think they're Christ. They're following him. We are following him. We're not being him. We're not be
right.
like him. But that's
well,
what
not
it says
the true believers.
Also.
But I'm just
that's
saying, you know,
also,
I think some people slip into mental illness believing they're Christ, and or just some people just
body,
too are evil and not saying yeah.
At the bottom of page 310, the last two lines, and we read this last week. That's why we didn't get into it again when Evangelist said that we had already done that. The last two lines on 310 says believers in the eternal state will be like him, which is in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? John explained in the following verses, to be like him means to be pure. We can try to be pure. To be without sin, we can try to be without sin, but we never will be. To be righteous, try to be righteous, do the right thing all the time. Our entire beings, including our bodies, will be characterized these ways. So we can strive for perfection. There's nothing wrong with that. But nobody, well, some people have that God complex, and they think that their God did something like that about Hitler. And many leaders have that complex where they think they're God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not. And that proves their fallibility. They're flawed because they end up dying or committing suicide or something, okay? And God is eternal. God never dies. Amen. So,
amen.
Thank you for bringing that point out, but we had spoken. We had read it. We didn't delve into it, but we spoke about it last weekend. So thank you again, Ms. Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Very important. Yes. So what was that last thing? Oh, Maranatha. All they did was give me a variety of different songs. They never gave me the actual definition. But I can try to pursue that more. I don't want to give you homework because I know y'all not going to do it, so forget that. Anyway, no one could say that who denied the resurrection of his Lord. Oh, okay, that was the Sadducees that said there was no resurrection. They didn't believe, right? So let me go into that. Let me go into that. Did the Sadducees believe there was a resurrection? Okay. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. So the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, whereas the Pharisees did. In Acts, Paul and Apollos chose this point of division to attempt to gain the protection of the Pharisees around 59 Common Era. The Sadducees rejected the notion of spirits or angels, whereas the Pharisees acknowledged them. So that might come up again, y'all. Who rejected the notion of resurrected Christ, and that was the Sadducees. Okay? The Pharisees believed that they were resurrected. Let's go on. So the resurrection of Christ has always been the joyous, I read that, captivating and motivating truth for the church. One of the simplest prayers and earliest creeds of the church was Maranatha, our Lord come, 1 Corinthians 16 and 22. Let's take a look at that, 1 Corinthians 16 and 22.
I have it.
Good.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
That's it?
That's it. 122. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
Okay, what does that say?
That's First Corinthians 16 and 22. Mine says, if anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord, come.
Wait a minute. We're not reading the same verse. Is it 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
Chapter 16, verse 22. All right. I was wrong. Sorry. So my book says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, the same word you're saying.
No, excuse me, Valerie.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22.
Verse 22, 16, verse 22. That was it. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha.
Maranatha. Okay.
Can you read in the King James Version?
Yeah. Rejoice, evangelist.
Okay. Okay, if you will allow me, I'll read the message. It says, okay. If anyone won't love the master, throw him out. Make room for the master. So Marathana seems to be talking about master.
Oh, let him be.
Marathana.
Okay. I have two words. Anathema and Marathana.
Maranatha. Okay, but that says basically the same thing. If anyone says that he doesn't love the Lord, he's Maranatha, I think you said.
Let him be anathema, Maranatha. Let him be.
Okay, so let me see. Okay, we got about 8 minutes. It's 50 minutes, too. Okay, the ascension. What does that mean?
To go up into heaven. To leave this world.
Right. The ascension. A statement about the ascension. In the Old Testament, two references foretell the ascension of Messiah. Psalm 58:18, quoted in Ephesians 4:8, and Psalms 110:1, quoted in Acts 2:34-35. In the sayings of Christ, our Lord spoke of going to his Father. John, many verses of scripture in John, and specifically of the ascension, John 6:62-20-17. In the writings, of the New Testament, the debated endings of Mark records the ascension. Luke speaks of it twice, but the principal description is in Acts 1:6-11. Other New Testament passages refer to it, Ephesians, Timothy, Hebrews, 1 Peter. Okay, but let's take a look at Acts 1:6-11. Evangelist, did you get that?
Acts 1:6-11.
And we'll end it after this.
Okay. Where am I?
Acts 1:6-11. Okay. And it. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into the heavens? The Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. To God be
My Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for that. And some don't believe that he's coming back again.
Exactly.
They don't believe. Yep.
Those are the rejectors. Because he will be back for us. Well, for those who love him.
Because he told us truth before, and he is a prophet.
Amen.
So we believe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other comments before we close out, ladies? Anything you want to share? And when we close out at 8 o'clock.
God is a good God. Yes, he is.
All right, Val.
God is a mighty good God. Yes, he is. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for the blessing.
Yes, I enjoyed this lesson. Beautiful. And next week we get into the
resurrected body. I can't wait to get a new body. Better than the base. My God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I want to hug you on the line. Have a beautiful and safe and a fulfilling and grateful and thankful Thanksgiving. And your people, whoever you're sharing it with, enjoy that, okay? That peace of God.
Amen. Thank you so much, and you do the same.
Thank you. And so we're going to close out. Miss Mary Valerie, you care to do that?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for just being a great God, a wonderful God, a merciful God, a forgiving God. I just thank you for my salvation right now. I thank you for my family. I'm thankful for all that you've bestowed. Giving me this year blessings and great blessings and financial blessings that my family is still sticking together, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all your greatness, all your kindness, all your love. I trust you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love you, Lord God. Bless this prayer line, Jesus. You said where there's two or three, there you are in the midst.
Yes,
Father God. Lord, you said to study diligently and
yes,
to ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord God. We ask that you, Lord God, that you give us the pure, true word, Lord God, with all these different versions that we're studying with. We ask you to edify us, Lord God, with your word, Lord God, the pure word of God, the gospel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Thank you for this day. I'm going to go cook, my sisters. I'm ready. I'm starting early because I had a senior moment. I thought I only need an extra day, but I thought this was the day. I took out the turkey. I took out the ham. I'm going to go cook. The Holy Ghost of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
And you can take your time, kind of, sort of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't need nobody because I don't have time.
That's good. But anyway, I will try to join you having a class tomorrow night, Evangelist?
Tomorrow is Wednesday, yes. Oh.
Okay, I'll try to do Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah, because I don't want to take 2 days off, because we're not going to have program on Thursday, because that's Thanksgiving and everybody.
I just want to know about tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. If any change, I'll let you know.
Okay, so basically, I'm going to not study for it, because if you don't have it, you don't have it. I'm just going to read it as we come on the air, God willing.
Okay.
If I get a chance, I'll look over it more, but I'm saying I'm not going to go into it because...
Yes, I understand.
Time-consuming, and I'm not going to devote the time to it if you're not doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I will try to join you.
All right. But if there's changes, if there's
Valerie,
any changes... I will let everybody know early in the day.
Okay.
All right.
Happy Sunday.
What did you say, Sister Barbara, about
Sunday?
It was wonderful. Sister and Evangelist Hilda Kane, I think he did one of his best sermons. He was on his P's and Q's. He trying to be too cute, though. He threw it too much gas in the pulpit. He trying to be too cute. We too old for that. He need to get too
He
old.
Already has the title I gave him. He is the dramatic preacher. Okay?
Yeah. He knows he needs to bring it, but he ain't got to really bring it like that all the time. Just get in the word. Gotta bring it. Gotta bring out you, well, you, you know, get
the
in
Lord
the word. All that
Lord
cool stuff. If you read it, if you read the script from the page, long as it's the word, you is the unadulterated, the pure word of God. I mean, that's all we need. All we need is that.
Another time when he does something, if I'm not preoccupied, ours went well too. I tell you, we had the. It was supposed to be 11 women platform service. And I was one of them. It was very well. Beautiful.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
So we'll talk, and maybe we could have one of those one day, you know?
Yeah, let's bring it up in the Borders of Divinity Women's Group.
Yeah, right?
Our meeting is next week, Sunday, not this Sunday.
Okay, yes. Good. Thank you. Because I'm thinking, I think
they
I can't.
Make know what you're talking about, Barbara, because I
don't
know. It's like women's business.
No, I'm looking at the calendar now. It's this Sunday. Wow, it's the 26th already?
Okay,
yes.
So it's this week. Okay,
yeah,
next week is December.
Yeah. Yes.
I think I'll be doing that whole song. Evangelist, since we were so successful with the trip, we're just going to dive in and just inch by inch as ascension start, you know, planning for the next year's trip. You know, just little things, whatever we can add or perfect, or but maybe we're going to keep everything the same, but look for a new place, location, and as long as it's a religious retreat site, you know, where we don't stick out, or, you know, anybody don't bother us, or we don't bother anybody else.
Oh,
right. So we're going to be discussing that more at the meeting. And, of course, everybody's welcome to consider a site they would like to be at, all right? But it's not necessary for this week, but I'm just saying, God willing, when we meet, we will try to bring up the future retreat of the Daughters of Divinity, all right?
Right.
Okay.
Another thing, if we plan this early, we could almost, you know, chip away at any, and just, you know, have more, not limited. I mean, we could chip away at more.
Yeah, that's the best thing, is do it early. We don't want to rush.
Yeah.
And we have to secure
a
spot, you know. So this is good timing. This is good timing.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, I'm going to say good night. Love you.
Love you guys. Have a wonderful evening.
Blessings.
I have to go and
kill
my
tonight.
All of you, have a happy Thanksgiving. Mwah.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay.